We praise you, our King. Thank you for making your dwelling among us. It is truly glorious for us. Thank you. We praise you. Amen. Please be seated. I loved, I think it was Graham Kendrick had the observation, I'm thinking this is, goes all the way back to the 70s, it might have been the 80s, that he loved to be in a worship service, especially if there was some kind of a sense of being sort of in the round, so that he could look into the eyes of other worshipers while praises were being sung and the dancing hand of God was moving among the congregation. And I got to tell you, this is the best seat in the house, getting to see your faces when the joy is just washing over you. It's a truly wonderful thing. What a great way to kick off 2013 this week. What a great way to enter into Epiphany. So much joy. You remember I started off the week, pretty early in the week, with a quote from my friend Jeremy Dunn, who said, I know stuff. I go to movies. And I really resonated with that. About probably 9/10 of what anything I know, I think I probably learned at the movies. It was 2008, and Janet and I had taken our twin 6-year-old granddaughters to the Hollywood 27 theaters that are only about 10 or 15 minutes from our house. I'd never seen Miyazaki, the Japanese filmmaker. I'd never seen one of his animated films, although I'd read grand things. I had no idea where he was coming from, what he did. We sat there in the theater and it began to unfold, and I began to realize, okay, this guy's coming from a very Hindu perspective. You're seeing lots of the Hindu pantheon of spirits and gods and all of that. And then I'm beginning to realize, man, this whole creation is scintillating. The ocean is not just an element. It actually has temperament. It has personality. There's something there that's motivating it from within, the same way animating spirit moves us from within. These trees, these rocks, the wind, the ocean, the waves, these things are alive. And all I could think of was the film that I'd loved since I was a kid, the original Frankenstein film with Boris Karloff and Colin Clive, that brilliant young actor that played Dr. Frankenstein, when the dead animated thing comes back to life and he's saying, it's alive, it's alive. And I could think of that. And the other thing I could think of is how impoverished my cosmology was. How limp, how neutered, how benign compared to his. And as I just did a quick run through of thinking of stories in the Old Testament and the New, and I think a lot of times we should try to take the scriptures at face value like a little child. I mean, study is absolutely wonderful and it's essential, but also step back and have a look at face value as a little child. What does the whisper, silent whisper of the Holy Spirit say? And I realized that his cosmology, although it had errors in it, spiritual errors, dark ones, his cosmology was more biblical, definitely more scriptural than mine. It's alive. And then I got to trying to break that down. Okay, this goes back to 08, and I've been kind of kicking this around in my mind for a few years now. What does it mean that the whole creation is alive? And these are the things we've talked about this week. Well, I suppose just about the oldest part of the created order that we know about is the angelic order. And John Milton wrote some about that. There's some in Jewish tradition. Fascinating. It's easy when you start studying that to fall into error like the Colossians did. Get infatuated with it. Get too fascinated with the angelic order. And as we know, trouble happened. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And many, probably most, believe that he took a third of the angelic order with him in rebellion against the Creator. I hear it talked about from time to time is the right rendering of the Greek in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil or deliver us from the evil one. I'm not an exegete. I don't read Greek. I have to depend on others who do. And I hear people say, who seem to be in the know, yes, it could be either way. And the more you read in the early church, the more it seems like probably the common understanding then was deliver us from the evil one. They had a heightened sensibility of the spiritual warfare they were living in. And if we think very much about that, the whole angels and demons thing and the spiritual warfare that's going all around us, it's easy to kind of get spooked, to really get upset, to become unnerved, almost paranoid, because we are under attack. We are living in a war zone. But remember the words of Elisha in 2 Kings 16. Those that be for us are more than those that be against us. We're in a good place. The Lord is a warrior. And he is mighty to save and mighty to deliver. The next part of creation I thought about that seemed like it would have come in this order would have been the elements. The sun and moon and stars and planets, the trees and rocks and oceans, all of the tangible physical stuff that exists. And I love that those passages we read the other day in Colossians and in Galatians where Paul refers to the elements, to the rudimentary things, to the elemental spirits. And that same Greek word, when Peter talks about this in one of his epistles, he says those elements, those rudiments, those fundamentals, those elemental spirits will melt with the fervent heat when the whole deal comes down, when we start coming to the conclusion. Why? To be destroyed? No. To be purified, to be remade, to be completely redeemed. So we've got the angelic order, we've got the elemental spirits, then God made us in his own image. It's so interesting how gregarious the Lord is. He loves to be with other creatures. He loves to be with creatures. He loves to have fellowship. He made the angelic order. And when it rebelled, he didn't stop there. He yearned for fellowship and made us in his image. I love Richard McBrien, the Roman Catholic theologian, that says that God is radically social. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Therefore, when he makes us, we're radically social. I love seeing the beauty of the radical social nature of appropriate relationships that have happened here in this week. Just driving around campus, walking around campus, watching two or three people here or there praying for each other spontaneously, bearing one another's burdens. The cloud of witnesses all surrounding us, cheering us on, praying for us, observing us. And the cosmic church that we read about in Hebrews 12 is the whole thing. It's the cloud of witnesses. It's all of us gathered here, but if we could draw back and really see what was happening last night, what's happening right now when we're gathered in his name, that the cloud of witnesses gets engaged, the angelic order gets engaged, all creation gets engaged, the whole creation. I was seized again as our friends were reading. All creation eagerly waits in eager anticipation, I think was the rendering, waits in eager anticipation, and then talks about groaning with the pangs of childbirth. I'm sure some of you women in this room have given birth to children, and others in this room have been with those giving birth in that delivery room. It's a terrible thing. It's an awesome thing. It's deep, deep pain. That's what creation is feeling, the scripture says, yearning and longing to be delivered. All of creation has a lot riding on what happens here, folks. Anytime I hear the peaceable kingdom reference from Isaiah 11, I can't help but remember a quote from Woody Allen, and some of you know where I'm going to go. The lion shall lay down with the calf, and the calf won't get much sleep. Well, Woody Allen didn't understand what's really coming. The lion will lie down with the calf, and nobody's going to be in danger. The wolf is going to lie down with the lamb. The Calvinist with the Arminian. The Democrat with the Republican. The Roman Catholic and the Baptist. The conservative and the liberal. The Southerner and the Yankee. The German and the Frenchman. The Hutu and the Tutsi. The Muslim and the Jew. Now, folks, only the cross of Christ can achieve that. All creation yearns in birth pangs, groans in travail, yearning to be delivered. And I believe that they are on bated breath every time we gather at the table. And the bread is broken, and the cup is passed, because the cross is focused on again. The death is proclaimed, and the soon return, the soon and very soon return is proclaimed. He is coming. He created it. It's alive. We soiled it. It's decaying. He has repurchased it, and it's all being brought back to life gloriously.